for those of you that picked up a copy of the slides for this evening's sermon, or sermonette, as we often call it. That is the sermon version of what we're going to look at tonight. I'm going to try to give you the invitation version, or the sermonette version. So it will be a little bit shorter. We will be moving very rapidly. You're going to get references to the verses that we will be talking about. However, due to time constraints, we will not be able to read every one of those. But I wanted to take a quick look in going along with the thoughts and the theme of this evening at the idea of faith, and what I've titled maybe a slightly closer look at faith and what that is. And many writers say that a true understanding of faith has eluded many in the religious world today, stating basically or very simply that there's a misunderstanding of what exactly faith is. Most of the world limits faith to being mere belief, but the Bible has a much deeper meaning placed on this important biblical term. Mere belief doesn't cover exactly what faith is. And faith is based, and we'll find, on evidences of things around us. And one of the things I would say at the outset is, how can you look at the way the world works today and not believe there's some kind of a creator behind it? When you look at the way the seasons change, when you look at the way time passes, when you look at the human body and consider how the human body works, how can you possibly think that all of that happened by chance? That everything that works within you somehow works, and it's by chance. It's mere coincidence. It's mere coincidence that the locations of planets are the distances that they are, or that the sun is so far from the various planets, including the Earth. How can we logically look at those things and not have faith that there's something that created and designed that for us? We find from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 1 and verse 6, what faith is, its definition, and we recognize from verse 6 that without it, it's impossible to please God. So we could come here every Sunday. We could go to every service. We could go to every Bible class on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and whenever they be. But if we don't truly have faith in who God is and believe in His Son and believe that it's through them that we find a hope of salvation, there's no reason. Faith is an essential element of us, of the Christian life. The Christian is saved by faith. We see that in Ephesians 2:8, which says, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." If you look at our slide here, we need to recognize that the Christian is to walk or live by faith. You can mark down 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 and Romans 14:23. One writer notes that by way of introduction into the doctrine of faith, we notice the following ideas. The gospel is the faith, according to Jude in verse 3. And those who have obeyed it have been, quote, faithful to the Lord, as it says in Acts the 16th chapter and verse 15. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 44 and Galatians 6 and verse 10, collectively then, believers are the household of faith. And you'll need to go back and you'll want to read those verses and you'll understand the statement that collectively, believers belong to the household of faith. Faith is the underlying principle of all a Christian's conduct, or should be. If it's not, then we need to examine ourselves. There's some meanings that we can find from the dictionary, of course. You can go to Man's Dictionary, and there's several different things you can find. Confidence or trust in a person or thing, like having faith in somebody else's ability. That an example of that, when you're willing to go to a surgeon and let them cut you open, you have faith in their ability to be able to do the job right, and that when you wake up, you'll be fine. There's a belief in God or in the doctrines or teachings of religion, such as the example they use of the firm faith of the pilgrims, or a system of religious belief, such as the Christian faith or the Jewish faith. We're going to move forward through some of these very quickly. The Bible Dictionary says, faith is, in general, the persuasion of the mind that a certain statement is true. You have faith that something said is true. You can reference Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and verse 13. Its primary idea is to trust in something. A thing is true and therefore worthy of trust. It admits of many degrees up to full assurance of faith in accordance with the evidence on which it rests. We're not talking about having a blind faith. We're talking about a faith and a belief and a trusting in someone in accordance with the evidence that's been provided to us. And that's where the world doesn't understand. And they see us as just a belief without any reasoning behind it. Faith is also the result of teaching. You want others in the world to gain faith? You need to go out and you need to teach them so that they can understand. Romans 10, 14 through 17, we know in verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith comes from hearing the Word of God or being taught. And we have the Holy Bible, which I put to get a definition of what faith is. And you can find that in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Again, most of you should be familiar with those passages. And there are three basic ideas relevant to the meaning of what faith is. Belief, certainty, or conviction of the truth of a proposition. We propose to the world that God is the creator. We believe that, we're certain of that, and we're convicted of that. We believe that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, and that's how we receive salvation. We're convicted of it, we believe it, and that is the truth of a proposition that we have. Secondly, there is the confidence in a person's trustworthiness or in the person himself. This involves the idea that the object of faith can be counted on to provide what is needed. A man of faith, then, is one who trusts in God, who believes that God can do for him what he needs him to do. It's the same idea, as I mentioned, of having faith in that surgeon having the ability to perform what needs to be done for you to make you well. As Christians, we trust in God to make us whole, make us well, and provide us a heavenly home. Thirdly, another basic meaning of faith is fidelity to a trust or commitment. This involves the idea that the subject of faith can be counted on to do his duty. A faithful man is one who can be trusted by God. A faithful God is one who can be trusted by man to see and believe that what he says he's going to do, he will do. We have a faith and a confidence, and we can count on the fact that God is going to do what God says he will do, if we follow his will. Or if we don't, we need confidence it's going to happen. The usage of the term pistis or faith and pistos, faithful, in the New Testament reflects all three of these ideas. It reflects the idea of belief in Acts the 8th chapter and verse 12. It reflects the idea of confidence in James chapter 1 verse 6, Romans chapter 4 verse 3 and 18 through 22. And the idea of fidelity can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 1 and 2. And Revelation 2:10. Each component is in fact based on solid evidence concerning the character of God himself. This morning we looked at and realize that Jesus stating he's the good shepherd describes the character of Jesus himself. Well, each component of faith gives us an idea of who God is and what his character is. God, through the years, has demonstrated his credibility. He said over and over again what will happen, and it has happened. We see that in what we're studying in our Bible classes on Sunday mornings. You can also mark down Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and Numbers 23:19. God has also demonstrated his dependability. You can mark down Romans the 8th chapter and verses 31 and 32. Looking a little bit further, God has demonstrated to us his worthiness of allegiance. God has shown us why he is deserving of us following after and giving allegiance to him. And you can read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. We'll move forward here a little bit. We also need to recognize that these three components of faith that we're talking about are all progressive. We need to be moving forward. Belief, or intellectual credence, is the important beginning point. It starts when we believe something. When we can say, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. You can see Hebrews 11, 1 and 6. This grows into a confidence or self-surrendering reliance. I am now confident of what God has said, that I can believe in him, and I am willing to, because of this confidence, surrender to him, whatever that will is. Whatever it is that he would have me do, because I'm confident in him, I'm willing to surrender to him. Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 10 through 13. And then, from here, this grows into fidelity, or an unswerving loyalty. I grow to a point where I understand that no matter what the cost, I will be loyal to God. We've talked about that in some of our classes in the book of Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, willing to go to the fiery furnace with a confidence in God. We're going to read about Daniel and Daniel in the lion's den not too far down the road. Again, it's confidence, it's faith in God, and it's an unswerving loyalty that these men held, that they refused to seek after other gods or follow false ways. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verses 7 and 8. We can have faith in God, and we can be faithful to him because he is a faithful God. It's that simple. We can do it because he's faithful to us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, and 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. So we need to live by faith. To be in the faith, as we find in 2 Corinthians 13:5, is also to be of the faith. And faith is a real factor in our manner of life. Everything that we do around the Lord's table is based on faith, and it guides every action that we take. Life in Christ is a life of trusting reliance on God. And we should understand that faith in God is closely related to having a love for God. When we grow in faith and confidence of what he's willing to do for us and what he has done for us, we can't help but grow in love as well and appreciate what it is that he has done. A person of faith is willing to renounce any other means of security. If you totally trust in someone, you're willing to give up anything else that may make you feel secure. It means you're willing to give up on the things of the flesh, as we find in Philippians 3, 3-11. It means you're willing to give up or surrender yourself and not rely on your own self for security, but to rely on God. And it means to be able to give up the temporal prosperity that you may find here on this earth. Just because you may be financially well off does not make you spiritually wealthy. And just because you may be physically bankrupt here on this earth, that doesn't mean you have to be spiritually bankrupt here on this earth. But don't trust in the temporal prosperity that you may receive. Trust in God and what He has said He will do for you. And of course, we need to maintain that faith. It's not enough to have had faith at one time. The life of faith begun is virtually worthless if it is not completed. It's not enough to say, yes, I believe today, and then tomorrow, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, say I no longer believe. But I'll be fine because I believed once. No, it's not enough. You can mark down Colossians 2:15 and Hebrews the 6th chapter, verses 11 through 12. And we need to understand what happens to our faith is crucial. We need to let it grow, as we find in Luke 17:15. We need to allow the testing of our faith, as we find in James 1, verses 2 and 3, knowing that it produces patience. We need to accept that. We need to recognize that we need to add to our faith. If you look at 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 5 through 11, we see that faith is the cornerstone of everything that gets added. And add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. And it goes on and on and on. But what's at the foundation of it all? Faith is at the foundation of it all. And then you need to add to. And then lastly, you need to stand fast. You need to remain faithful regardless of the situation. Faith is essentially something that is forward-looking. And you can mark Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, verses 6 and 14. So the conclusion of it all this evening is, man has the choice whether to trust his Maker or not. Man has the choice to live by faith or not. You can mark Jeremiah 17, verses 7 through 8. I would hope most of you in this audience could quote Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That portion of that text, hopefully we all understand that. We have a choice, even if someone thinks it's strange. You make your choice, but our choice is to trust and have faith in God. That's the shortened version of the lesson for the evening. For any that would like copies of the notes, I would be happy to supply that to you. There are a great deal of passages. But the bottom line is this. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Everyone in this audience wants to please God, don't they? That's why we're here. If you want to do it, you better have faith. And if your faith is wavering, then you need to look to God, and you need to look to His Word, and you need to look to other brothers and sisters in Christ to help strengthen that and continue to grow. At this time, if there's any in this audience that have any need, we would invite you to come forward while we stand and sing.